Dear friends in Christ, grace and peace to you from God, whose grace abounds for all. Amen. Well, school has started. Fall is in full swing. Pretty soon, the leaves will start to turn, and a magical landscape of color will unfold right before our eyes. It's often at this time of year when I get nostalgic for those back-to-school days of my childhood, shopping for school supplies and waiting at the bus stop with the other neighborhood kids. And later, as a young adult, the smell of the Malto Meal factory in Northfield and purchasing textbooks at the bookstore at St. Olaf College. What I treasure most about this season of fall is that it evokes something deep within my soul. It's a remembering or longing to be connected to the places and people that have shaped me, nurtured me in faith, and taught me a thing or two about generosity. For example, when I was in elementary school, I have this distinct memory of sitting in the lunchroom with my small group of friends. A few of my friends bought school lunch. I was a brown bag girl. My mom diligently packed my lunch every single day, and I still can't believe it. And then there was this other friend who brought her lunch in a pink lunchbox. She always brought a peanut butter and jelly sandwich that was cut into triangles, those little snack-sized bags of chips, mini carrots, fruit, and always she had two bags of the most delicious fruit snacks. And the most amazing thing about this friend was that she always gave her fruit snacks away. Not once do I remember her eating them. She had a system. Sometimes you'd get the jackpot, six fruit snacks. Other times you'd get two or three, but she always made sure all of her friends got at least one. And as I think back on this, it was a wonderful thing, both to be a recipient of a generous gift and to be a witness as others delighted in the joy of a gift of six fruit snacks. I know it might seem like a silly thing to be generous with fruit snacks, but this was one of the first examples that comes to mind when I think of generosity and what it means to share God's grace with one another. We've just begun our stewardship season at Mount Olivet, a time when we reflect on what it means to be generous with our time, our talent, and our treasure. And today we're joining Paul as he kicks off a stewardship campaign with the Corinthians. Paul seeks to reorient the Corinthians to God's grace as the starting point for stewardship. God's grace is where it all begins. God's grace is so important that Paul uses the Greek word for grace five times during these nine sentences. It's often disguised, though, as generous undertaking or privilege, so it can be easy to miss. Paul writes, "For you know the generous act, that is, grace, of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich." It is the love of God made known to us through Christ Jesus that informs how we are to live in the world, that reminds us of who we are and whose we are. It is God's love in Christ that anchors us in community and then propels us out to share and love and give and serve with boldness. Stewardship season at Mount Olivet means meatball dinners and times to gather with one another and give thanks for how we have been shaped by this community of faith. It's also a time to reflect on our financial commitments to the church, to pledge our support to the ministries of this congregation, and to dream together about the future. Now, Paul's stewardship campaign looks a little different. There are no meatball dinners, which is a major bummer, no pledge cards, no stewardship video. Instead, Paul invites the mostly Gentile Christians to give money to the mostly Jewish churches in Jerusalem. The Corinthians are encouraged to give money to people they do not know and will likely never meet. No questions asked about their need or worthiness. Paul appeals to their generosity by lifting up the example of the Macedonians, by telling a story of a community that encountered challenge and struggle, and by the grace of God, instead of looking inward and focusing on themselves and their own needs, they looked out to the neighbor, to people they didn't personally know, and gave generously and willingly of their financial gifts, all by the grace of God. Paul gives us some helpful hints for how we can live generously as people of God with gifts of all kinds to share with the world in need. So perhaps we might ask a few questions. First, who are the Macedonians in your own life? What individuals and communities have taught you about generosity? Who or what comes to mind? And second, what does it look like when we give to people whom we don't know and will never meet? When we give abundantly of ourselves or our time or our money with no expectation or obligation that the gift will ever be returned? When I think about God's grace, I think about people like my friend and her fruit snacks, or my other friend who attends tech study and always buys breakfast when it's your birthday or you're celebrating something special, or my godmother whose hospitality made you feel welcome with her delicious home-cooked meals and thoughtful questions. I think about those people who go through the Starbucks drive-thru and pay for the person who is behind them in line. And then I think about the Starbucks employee who gets to deliver the good news to the lucky person who no longer has to buy their coffee. I think about the many individuals who give money to organizations that support people who are oppressed or hurting or broken by life circumstances. I think about the prayer chain people at Mount Olivet and at faith communities all around the world who take time out of their day to pray for people in need. I think of congregations like Mount Olivet that support the neighborhood by offering a free community meal to those who are hungry or longing for connection and community. How would you answer some of these questions? As we continue to move through stewardship season at Mount Olivet, look out for these moments of grace, for these beautiful interactions in your life or in the life of your community. Places where God's love comes alive in the daily moments of grace exchanged between God's people, the ones we know and the ones we'll never meet. As we live into God's grace more fully, it unlocks a deep joy within us, a joy that beckons us forth to the places and people where God is calling us. What might it be like for us to participate in God's grace as it comes alive in this world, always for the sake of the neighbor? Because really, that's the only way that grace can exist in the world. It's always for someone else. Just like God's grace is for you and 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 even you two talking over there and the choir. We share God's grace when we live and give and care for one another. God's grace is God's love at work in the world, and it invites our participation. Let's join in together. Thanks be to God. Amen.